dismiss all that are in junior church, but those 3 to 4 year olds may go at this time. Just the 3 and 4 year olds. The rest of you, we'd like to have you stay here with us this morning. Are there any 3 and 4 year olds that would like to leave? Okay. I want to greet each one of you, and it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. And it is a special, special day to be here. I would ask that you would turn to Luke, the first chapter. Probably no wondering what we will be talking about today, right? What we'll look at today is we'll look at Mary for a little bit, Joseph for a little bit, then we'll see the delivery of the Christ child. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for life today. Thank you for a life more abundant through Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that through him, through faith in him, we can have a relationship with you. Thank you that you love us so immensely that you would send your one and only Son to die for us, born to die. Thank you that we can look into your holy word, that which is forever settled in heaven and is timeless, and see your heart for man. Thank you that in these pages is written your grace and your love and your passion for us, your holiness. Thank you that there we can discover that you have sent someone to bear our sin, sent someone to take the punishment that we deserved, and through faith in him, we can be forgiven. We can be your child. We can have purpose for life here and now. Have you walking with us, working in us and through us to grow us and to bring glory to your name. Thank you for the music that we were able to be a part of today and sing praise to your wonderful name. Thank you for this event that we look at today. I would ask that you would reach into the heart of each one that's here today. If there's someone without you, someone who's yet to come to faith in Christ, that you would bring them to that point. Perhaps there are those here today that they're really broken. They're believers who have struggled. They're believers who have faced hardship in this last little while. Encourage them. Encourage all of us to continue to do well, to continue to sow, that we may reap for your glory. Do all of that, we pray. Meet us now. Let us not go away from here today without being able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. So we want to hear from heaven. May your spirit lead the listener and myself as I proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 1:26, would like to start there. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is a season of the advent of the Son of God. We celebrate, as we should, Jesus Christ, having stepped into the world and having become our Savior. Now, as a story unfolds before us this morning, it will become clear that that which seems absurd or impossible is possible. As each of us look at life, and we look at it often through the glasses colored by our own virtues, by our own power or wisdom, or perhaps the strength of someone else, we discover then that as we think about God, that He is capable of anything. And this story may seem incredulous to some, but for us, it's a time to rejoice. It's a message that is timeless, and it has come to us. What may seem impossible to us is nothing to God. God isn't limited by what man can do. When it comes to making good on His promise of a Redeemer, God did the most amazing thing. And we see that in these pages. The response that He desires from us, of course, is faith. He desires that we respond in faith. Let's look at this setting for a moment. It's a word from heaven that is given to Mary in the sixth month in Angel Gabriel. I believe that's the sixth month of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. It's the sixth month of her pregnancy. That's recorded in that first chapter previous to verse 26. An angel, Gabriel, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said this to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." So God's revealing His plan here. That's what He's doing. There's a word from heaven to man. The long ago promised Redeemer is coming. And He brings this word to Mary. Greetings from heaven. That's a great thought there, isn't it? Verse 28, coming in, He said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." So it's a greeting from heaven. God is speaking. God, our Father, is moved, and He sends an angel to speak this word to Mary. Highly favored one is keratu. That's in the original. It's divine favor that's bestowed upon this individual. We may think of it as gracing someone or grace. What God is doing here is extending grace to Mary. This word is found in one other passage in the New Testament. And in that passage, it is addressed to believers. So there's only two places this is seen in the New Testament. I want to read the other place to you. It's in Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 6. It says there, I'll pick it up in verse 5, and speaking to believers, He predestined us to adoption as sons. That's what God did through Jesus Christ. To Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on those who received. And so believers, we are in line, the same word is used of us, as we have come to know Christ, as God's grace has flowed to us. Mary hears from God through the angel. And He says to her, "Greetings, favored one." She is perplexed. Excuse me. I was afraid I might do that this morning. I've reached puberty. I'm not going through that. I'm going through something else this morning. Are you glad I didn't try to sing where you could hear me? But God graces her with this, and Mary responds with some perplexity here, verse 29. She was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Again, grace here is to her. She's perplexed. She was endowed with this special honor and kept wondering about it. And I think had you and I been there, had seen it or heard it, or if God had moved in that particular way in our lives, we may have felt the same thing. But I think, too, that we do feel that at times. Have you thought about why God would save you? Why God would send a Savior for you? How is it that you have found favor with God? Well, it's nothing you've done. It's nothing I've done. It's nothing in me. It's all of God. And He just reaches out to save sinners like me and like you. Well, she's pondering this, she's wondering, she's perplexed. But again, let's remember that which may seem impossible to us is nothing to God. God has just told Mary, she's highly favored. He'll go on to talk about bearing a son here. Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus." Now, I need to say something here because of how she is pictured today by some individuals, some teaching toward Mary. I want you to know clearly that there was nothing in and of her, in her own merit, that God would do such a thing that he did. And that is in line with what God's word says here. He graces her. He pours this grace out on her. He mentions that twice in this text, that there was grace toward her. She is to be highly regarded. She is she's blessed, but she's not to be worshipped. She's not to be prayed to. I think Mary's response to that today, to what in some circles is happening, would break her heart. But she is not a means to heaven. She's not a means to have a right to have a relationship with God. That's not who Mary is, and that's not what God is doing here. There's the same grace that was extended to her is extended to us. I find it wonderful and enlightening that God would use that word twice in the New Testament. Once, it's spoken of every believer of all time, that we are favored by God. So the grace that came to her is the same grace that comes to us. It's unmerited. Had Mary, think with me a minute, had Mary been this person that some think she would, I believe the greeting from heaven would be much different. I believe it would be, she would be thinking it's coming to her. I believe the greeting from heaven would be a lot different than what it is here. You've earned this. Your behavior and so forth has brought this. And nowhere could be grace, the word grace there would not be found. Mary's response reveals her humility here. She was perplexed, verse 29. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." And it mentions that she's going to conceive in her womb and bear a son. "You shall call his name Jesus." Jesus means Savior. "He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Amazing announcement to her. "And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" See, she was not expecting this. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." And then I believe he encourages her in faith here. And Mary's pondering this. This is an announcement to her that is incredible. It's just beyond anything she could expect or think. And her response, but even so, in this, I believe God is encouraging her, telling her, you know, Elizabeth, the one who was barren, is now with child. And he's just encouraging her in her faith. And then he says this, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. How many of you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You don't see him, but you love him. And you're trusting God in his word. And to the world, that may seem impossible that God would redeem you and I. But with God, nothing's impossible. And we move forward in faith. And God is encouraging her. If you would just take a moment, say next week, to just examine Mary and Joseph in their faith. Incredible faith that God moved in such a way and they came along and trusted him and his word. I trust the Lord Jesus Christ with my soul because of what God's word says. You know, some of you may be here today and you think, if only God would speak to me in that way, through a vision or face to face. I have to tell you something this morning. Do you realize we have much more revelation than Mary did, than Joseph did, than those people did? We have the holy word of God, him keeping it, preserving it, and wanting to speak to you and I. We have so much. We have every reason to come to faith and every reason to move forward and to walk by faith. She's perplexed and
God just moves and kind of puts his arms around her and encourages her. And ends with this, nothing is impossible with God. And then you see this a tremendous statement by Mary. She humbles herself and says this, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You know, if you don't get anything else out of this today, I hope you'll get this. Here's a servant of God just humbling herself before God and saying, "Whatever you desire to do with me, I am opening myself to you to that." And that, I believe this is the most glorious place for a believer to be. And I know some of you guys have gone through some hard things. You're going through hard things. They come along. We stop for a moment and rejoice at what God has done. But I want to tell you, as we go through the challenges of life, here's a great place to be for you and I this morning. That is of humbling ourselves and surrender to God. That's the best place for any believer to be. She has, we see this setting and God moves. And there's another part to the story as well, isn't there? There's Joseph. So turn back to Matthew, first chapter. Pastor Dan read this text to us this morning. A couple things I want to say to that. Pick it up in verse 18. You're going to see Joseph's response to God intervening in his life. Verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, or engaged, before they came together, before that marriage was consummated, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. An incredible thing here. Here's Joseph and Mary. Joseph, I believe, has picked himself out a bride who he had this vision of what their lives would be, what their marriage would be, and he thought he knew her, and he finds out she's pregnant. And Joseph knows that that's not his child. And so you have this torment of soul, I believe, that came onto Joseph. And he was a righteous man, and you know he wasn't gonna shame her publicly. He was a man of grace. And when he had considered this, annulling the engagement. When he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit, shall bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So he's righteous, he's contemplating this, and he's about to call off the marriage, and God steps in. And God steps in. And he hears from heaven. Joseph hears the word of the Lord. And he does as all of us should do. He responds in faith. You know, that's an incredible thing for a young man to hear. That God, listen, Joseph, don't be afraid. What's taking place in her? This child has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be the Savior of the world. Would you believe it? If you were him, would you believe it? That's an incredible thing to ponder. But he just responds in faith to the Word of God. Let's pick it up, verse 23. It speaks of why this would happen. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. So you'll see this pattern all throughout Joseph's life. He hears from God and he does what God calls him to do. He hears from God and does what God calls him to do. In verse 25, he kept her virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph's response, God stepped in. He mentions what has happened here. It seems unbelievable as God is describing this to him. I think Joseph just thought, this is amazing. But yet, he awoke and he did what God called him to do. And again, here you have an example of two people following God, doing what they need to do. And the Christian life is much like that, isn't it? God calls us to stand firm in the midst of a society that holds values very different than us. We need to simply obey. God calls us to shine His lights in this world. We simply need to obey. God calls us to live with our bodies as a sacrifice to Him, a holy sacrifice to Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's your reasonable service of worship. And that's what we need to do. God calls us to be students of the Word. We need to be those kind of people. God calls us to be forgiving, to be gracious, to be kind, to be loving. That's what we need to do. And when we do those things, we are the most fulfilled, being used by God in a great way. And it's a beautiful place to be. Joseph's response to God was that of simple obedience. Now, there are mockers, and they will mock at this story. I had a man tell me face to face, I'm not going to tell you what he said about Mary. Face to face, he mocked what God has done. Now, he would say he believed in God. But I would say to him, if you believe in God, are you telling me this is too big for God to do? He spoke of it, that it was going to happen this way. He named the place that it would happen in Micah 5:2. He said it will happen in Bethlehem. Are you saying God's not big enough for that? If He's created all things, sustains all things, could He not do this? If He holds our life in His hand, our next breath is His, could He not do this? Absolutely He could. The mockers will mock. The scoffers will scoff. Some of them will say, we believe in God, but find this to be impossible. It's ridiculous to think God could create us and that God would be somehow limited to what He could do in providing for us a Messiah. Let me say this too. There's no other way to explain Jesus' life without understanding that He did not have a physical, earthly father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and thereby able to make sacrifice for us by going to the cross as the sinless, perfect sacrifice. Well, what do you think? Is God going to deliver? God said to Mary, this is what I'm going to do. God said to Joseph, this is what I'm going to do. God said to us and to the world in Genesis 3:15, this is what I'm going to provide. In Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, He told Abraham, I'm going to do this. And the promises continue, continue, continue. And do you think God will keep those promises? Amen and amen, right? Absolutely He will. Let's go back to Luke, the second chapter. I know I've covered a lot of ground. I'm going to finish here this morning. Here it is. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taking while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Do you realize that God arranged the historical events to move Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to deliver the Christ child some 80 miles away or so? They made that trip. That's here from Manistique. You might think here from Munising. Probably it depends on how they got there, whether they had animals to help. It was quite a trip. God placed Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. Why? Because that is the city that Micah 5:2, that minor prophet, said in that city is where Messiah would be born. God moved through a man who, Quirinius, he wanted to tax the people. And so what he did was he said, you guys need to go back to your hometown. And guess where Joseph was from? Bethlehem. How does all this take place? God delivers on His word. He arranges it. They get there, and guess what happens? Mary brought God into to the world. Why they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth, verse 7, to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." God moves Mary and Joseph. They head out on a journey. They arrive in Bethlehem, and the scripture is fulfilled. Right there, the Savior is born. You know, this happened over 2,000 years ago. We've gathered this morning. Your brothers and sisters have gathered around the world to celebrate that a Savior is born for you and I. You know, I love that greeting from the angel. Good news of great joy for everyone. And that's what this is. And part of the rest of the story is these guys can't sit still. They go find Christ. They go rejoicing, rejoicing, and rejoicing. And they're telling others. I don't know how it is that you approach this event. If you think of Jesus as just an historical figure, you've missed the message. You've missed what God wants to do. He sent a Savior for you. You know, he went to the shepherds. He could have gone to anyone. Shepherds, the lowest of the low in that society. Sometimes they wouldn't even be allowed to testify in court. They weren't thought of as much. God has a heart for all people. Every one of you. He loves every one of you. He wants to see you come to faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to give you the redemption that the Redeemer has provided. You know the rest of the story. It's not just a babe in a manger, right? He grew up. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. He died, according to the Scripture, and rose again the third day in triumph over death, sin, and hell. Knowing that event does not save you. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. You and I need to believe. We need to accept. He needs to be our personal Savior. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you believe? If so, my brothers and sisters, let's not forget the angels rejoiced, the shepherds rejoiced, and our response ought to be one of exceedingly great joy. Are you glad that God sent a Savior for you? Pretty humbling, isn't it? Pretty humbling to think that God would do that for me, because I know some of me. And I'm a sinner. And God sent a Savior for people like me. And since we're all sinners, he sent a Savior for people like you. Do you believe? If so, rejoice. And our lives should reflect a great awe of this event, a great awe and reverence of our Savior. And I hope you're growing in the Lord, because this is great news that God would do such a thing. If you haven't come to faith in Christ, I'd encourage you to stop looking with your mind and look with your heart. The word to Mary was, nothing is impossible with God. You can explain this away, you can throw it away, but listen, God has sent a Savior for you, and he loves you. He wants you to come to faith. So much so that he'd arrange the events of history to provide a Savior and to allow you to step into this building today and to listen to this story. Well, the first Christmas, there was great joy, there was rejoicing, it was good news to all. Jesus said this, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Not through a religious system, not through a pastor or a religious leader saying you're okay. He didn't. There's not a way through your works to be right with God. It's only through faith in Him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, John 14:6, but through me." It is through Christ and Christ alone. Those of us who have come to faith in Him, we rejoice. And this is the greatest story ever told. Folks, this is our message to the world. God has brought light into the world, and He is Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you as you go through your week, you know, you can ponder this and meditate on this, and it is glorious indeed. But take what you know and live for the glory of God. And if you're here today without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to move in that direction now, right where you're at. You can trust Him even now. He can be your Savior, not just a Savior. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. God has said so. And that God has provided a way of escape. If you're here today without Christ, you're under the wrath of God, John 3:36 says. But to know Him is to have life. It's to have peace. It's to have forgiveness. It's to have purpose. And we reach out in faith. Righteousness is a gift from God. It's all through grace. And you and I, when I came to know Christ, it was simply this. I cried out to God, "Save me." He said in Romans 10:13, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." I was one of those. I asked Him to save me, and He did. You can do that today and begin a great journey with God. Those of you who know Him, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we look at this story through simply human eyes, this is way beyond impossible. Thank You for giving us eyes of faith and a heart that responds to what You've said. Thank You for revealing Yourself through creation, through Your Word, through what's around us. I want to thank You for sending Jesus Christ for me and on behalf of these folks that know You today. We all want to say that. Thank You that we can just rejoice, worship, and have great joy in thinking of all that You are and all You've done for us. Thank You that Jesus came and died and rose again. Thank You that You keep Your Word and that He's coming again. Bless Your people. May Your hand be on them. May they rejoice with their families and friends today in that You have provided a Savior. Savior is born. In Jesus' name.